Welcome to The Atypical Leader with Rick Brennan, where we talk about harnessing what makes you unique
and maybe even a little odd,
while at the same time dismantling the notion that you have to be a certain type of person or act a certain way to be an effective leader.
Definitely a leader, not a follower.
I like the sound of this.
It's time for us atypical leaders to come out of the shadows and learn to be proud and confident in what makes us different.
I'm proud of who I am.
I'm proud of who I am.
Atypical Leader starts now.
Okay. Hey, Rick, how are you?
I'm good there, Judy. And how are you this fine evening?
We're up late. Are you drinking?
Well, you say that like I'm always drinking. Yes, I am having a drink. Just, you know, very mild Aperol spritz. And I know you're not drinking because you're a little hungover.
I'm not hungover today, but yes, I was very hungover yesterday,
Judy,
I must admit.
We're kind of in the same age bracket. When we're hungover, it lasts like a week. So,
yeah, you know. Yeah. No, I was good today. But anyway, let's move on. How's the book going?
Hey, you know what, Judy? It's doing pretty well. First in my category, at least the last time I looked. And people seem to be pretty enthusiastic. People are sending me all kinds of pictures of them in the book, which I'm putting out on the World Wide Web, you know, for everybody to see. And I actually have a book signing coming up.
Oh, that's going to be cool.
Yeah, well, I hope so. It's not something I can trying to get my head around it, you know what I mean? You know, I'm afraid to death I might spell something wrong as I sign. At least I think I got my name down, Pat, but if anybody wants a little message, I'm going to need a copywriter.
Well, I'm sorry I can't be there to help you, but I think if we can get a lot of people down there, they would be kind to you and help you spell.
I'm sure
while you're writing,
I'm
signing
sure
their book.
Would. Yeah.
Anyway, let's move on.
Okay.
So today's topic, we are talking about what was it like working with an atypical leader, and we have a guest.
We do have a guest.
Yes, it's a former colleague of yours. Hi, Paula.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Good. Nice that you're joining us.
Paula Karansky. Is that right? No.
Again?
Paula Zoransky. Karansky.
Provence. It would be Skovronsky, but thank Skovronsky. You for the attempt.
Oh, well, you know, it was worth a try. I knew I couldn't get it, you know.
I can hardly
say my name. And I've been practicing that for years.
Your name?
Yeah. My name. Rick.
What's so hard about your name?
Rick Brennan. You know, see, I have a hard time. Rick Brennan. There you go.
Okay.
Oh, take a joke, Judy. Oh, my God. So how you doing, Paula?
I'm great. I'm doing very well, thanks. It's nice to be here. This is exciting and different from the norm. Yeah.
What's your background, Paula?
Well, I worked with Rick for, goodness me, probably, Rick, I can't remember when you retired, but I was with you from the acquisition of Remedies RX. So that would have been 2014. Until
probably 3-4 years.
Yeah. Seemed longer.
Yeah, I can imagine working with Rick.
What does that mean? It seemed longer.
It seemed longer. It seemed like we accomplished more than, you know, 3 years.
So what was your title there? What were you doing?
I was senior director of operations, central operations. So I had a team. I had the communications team for the shared services that was created, and I had store development, and we launched Retail Learning Academy, the RLA.
During our time together, we went from 1,200 stores to 2,500 stores.
Yeah, it was big. It was good.
What was the reporting relationship? Like, did you report to Rick? Was he your boss?
I did. Yeah, Rick was my boss.
You guys have something in common.
What's that?
You both boss me around. It's so true. Oh, yeah. No. You're my co-host, you know, and Paula used to work for me, but I never felt like I was really in charge.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I never really thought of you. Like, I thought of you as my boss. Obviously, there was that line of respect and that as a boss. But because it was such a unique working relationship in that you weren't dictatorial in that sort of boss sense, it was very collaborative, I guess. So there was a lot of camaraderie in that respect.
And actually, it's nice to hear you say that, because we're in a big corporation, you know, right? I think that we're this little bubble inside this corporation that was operating like you would think very typically. And I think that we operated very atypically, if I could use that word, very different from other business units.
Yes, I would agree with that. I think it was a unique working team. And that was the team of the shared services, right? So providing different services to the pharmacies. so that they could benefit from the different expertise and different departments that were that they were utilizing within the within McKesson.
Well, I have a million-dollar question, really. What was it really like to work for and with Rick? Was he as fabulous as he says he is?
No, I don't think Rick. I don't think Rick actually ever said he was fabulous, Judy. He that was, I guess, one thing that probably is atypical. He does not have an ego, and never really presented as having one. If he did, he internalized it very well. So from that regard, I guess the most important thing was that as a leader, he was very vulnerable. So he never really came to the table having all the answers. In fact, was very open about, I don't have the answers. Let's figure this shit out together. And so working for him, it was challenging. It was rewarding. There was a lot of celebration and it was really coming together. It was very unique. You felt like you were part of something bigger than what the task was.
And what was the challenging part?
I guess the challenging part was, you know, the expectation that he would have that it would happen. And, you know, Rick had a famous line, better done than perfect. Mm-hmm. And so you knew that whatever it was that needed to happen, and sometimes we needed to explore it a little bit more. Like, what is he really asking for? What does he want? What is he envisioning?
Right.
And trying to get that out of him. You always had an expectation that whatever was the ask is that it was going to get done. And I think on one of the podcasts that I had listened to previously, you had talked about, you know, micromanaging and that you did not micromanage. Well, Rick did not micromanage. He would present what needed to happen and then he would literally back away. He would come in every now and then. We'd talk about what we're doing, where we're at. He would course correct if needed, and then he would back away again. So I guess in doing that, you were very empowering as a leader because that's where you allowed for the team to come together. And you didn't care if you were part of all of those team discussions that we were having as a team to bring to life whatever the objective was. You were there to guide us, but you really allowed us to come together as a team and make it whatever needed to happen.
Wow.
Wow. I got to say wow, too. Jesus.
Wow. Like you didn't lie to me.
Well, I never said that.
but he never said, I'm fabulous. This is what you guys have to do for me. I guess he had a way of doing it where you just kind of like, you know, when you kind of cock your head and go, okay, we got to get this shit done. And I guess it was just that natural level of expectation. And you actually, I don't know what the magic ingredient is, but everyone bought into, yeah, we got to do this. This is exciting. And I guess that was part of it too. Like whatever the project was or the initiative was, it was an exciting initiative. So you wanted to be part of it.
So that leads me to another question. What did he do different from like the other bosses or leaders or executives in the company?
First of all, having the vulnerability as a leader and as a boss to say, like, I don't have all the answers. I don't know. Help me because we're in this together. So there was that, again, that lack of ego where it's my way or the highway. That was never an approach. And you also really wanted to make sure that the team, there was this sense of team. We were all given a book and the book was The 5 Dysfunctions of a Team.
Okay.
And I don't know if you've read the book.
Yeah.
But it was a good book. And honestly, I don't know that I'd been given a book before by a boss to say, here, read this, because we're going to go on a retreat and we're going to talk about the book.
Okay.
And so the retreat was actually, and not many bosses open up their home to their team. Another, you know, kind of anomaly there. We're going to be in a comfortable atmosphere. We're going to sit in a kumbaya circle in my living room and we're going to talk about the book. And really what the book is based on, these 5 dysfunctions, is absence of trust. And so for Rick, trust is very important. And that was obvious because he wanted us to duke it out. He didn't want people talking behind each other, you know, behind your back. Yeah. If you had something to say, you say it to the person, you confront it, you move on. So the absence of trust was, you know, sitting there in that room and talking about each other and fear of conflict, you know, that was another part of the book. And so in that time when we were sitting there, we were talking about our conflicts, our issues with each other. It was almost like a therapy session, but not a structured therapy session. Lack of commitment, avoidance of accountability, and understanding and defining. I think at that moment, we actually talked about each other's roles and responsibilities so that everybody could understand what they're responsible for. So I don't think I'd ever been in a setting like that before where my leader or my boss says, come on over. We're going to go on a retreat. We're going to sit in a circle. We're going to talk about each other. And by the way, when we're done that, we're all going to go golfing.
Well, karaoke. So, we did karaoke.
We did karaoke as well.
And how did that go, by the way?
Well, I think we all know that I am Loretta Lynn's twin, and I am officially the coal miner's daughter.
Yeah, we honestly got, because Paula, it was so funny. So Paula's putting together the meeting, and Paula says, I think we're going to do karaoke as our activity. And at that point in time, I had never done karaoke. And I said, we're going to do what? What do you mean we're going to do that? Are you crazy? She said, we're doing that. You know, she bossed me around again. You're doing it, like it or not. But so we did it, and it turned out great. And we had a ball, and everybody got, and talk about breaking down barriers. Holy jeez.
Yes.
I mean, there's people
well,
who did
yeah, you
not
have to feel
want
pretty
to get
comfortable
up.
With people. Talking about going to his house and whatnot. So not only was he vulnerable, but he let the team be vulnerable.
Oh, yeah. And the thing is, if you try to not be part of it, he will call you out.
Yeah, I never had a problem with that.
No, which was fine. I mean, it really opened up the lines of communication. I think right now a lot of companies, you know, are the whole thing is, being candid and open and honest. And I think Rick enforced that before it became a popular thing.
Yeah, well, you know, and I kind of like doing that, I must say, because I could, you know, one thing I'm pretty good at is reading people, and I could look around the circle and everybody's saying, here's how I feel, this is how I feel, and this is how you feel. And I could tell some people are just lying. I could tell they're just not telling the truth. And I'd say, you know, whoever, you're not telling the truth. What's your problem? Speak up. Let's get it on the table. And that's the way. And I got to tell you, after that meeting, it was a big difference. It's one thing to bare your soul to everybody, tell other people how you're frustrated. And actually, one of the things in that meeting was talking about how managers were holding people to different levels of accountability within their team. So what might be a 5 in one team, where you had to work your guts out, a 5 in another team, you could kind of slack by on. And people called that out, said, within all our business units, we have to have a standardization. I can't have people working their guts out to get the same rating that you give to someone else on another team that does nothing. And, oh, I got to tell you, that really changed things as we move forward.
Yeah, it did. I think that we really bonded at that event. And I think everybody probably to this day still carries a piece of that with them, honestly, because it was impactful.
I can imagine. Okay, question. Did he ever piss you off?
Yeah, often. But he was also open to hear if you were pissed off. Like he could read you. I mean, there was one time where I wasn't pissed off at him. I was just pissed off. And he would come in, he shut the door, and he's like, tell me, what is it? What is it? Tell me. And I'm like, no, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it right now. No, you're gonna tell me. Tell me. And then you just tell him, right? He wanted to genuinely know. And I think that was also part of the difference of not sort of, he would walk the talk. Right. He wasn't asking us to behave a certain way and then not himself.
OK, well, that answers one of my questions. So when Rick retired, and then I think these actually came in when we started the podcast, I have two people that have written Rick. They're people that I think worked for you, Paula, like directly for you and not for Rick. It's really interesting. So I'd kind of like to get your feedback on them. I'm just going to give you a little quote. He said, one of the greatest leaders I have ever come across.
He did really respect and look up to Rick. And I remember the first day that James joined the team and he came in as the manager of retail learning. Honestly, we were setting up. That was a brand new department. And so he came in and we were really relying on his skill set as an instructional designer to get stuff done. And Rick was very engaging with James and wanting to hear what he had to say. And you know, being senior vice president of retail banner services, there's that title, right? You have a new employee who is talking very openly and being asked questions by the senior vice president, and he has Rick's ear. And we actually took James out for lunch. Rick ordered chicken wings, and James literally could not stop talking about it. I can't believe, you know, he sat there and ate chicken wings. Like, he's so down to earth, so down to earth. And that was one thing.
I like wings.
One thing that really struck a chord with James was how down to earth and real Rick was. And so I think that's why he's, you know, he probably started as one of the greatest leaders, because to James, because I know James, it's important to him, that connection. And Rick had a way of making that connection and making you feel like the most important person in the room, because he gave you his ear and time, and he listened, and he was very engaging in conversation.
Okay. Yeah. Because Rick, when Rick told me about it, Rick, you mentioned that you felt that you had very limited interaction with him.
Well, I did. Because well, he wasn't one of my direct reports. I reported to Paula. And sure, I mean, I talked to James, you know, on a regular basis, but hi, how are you? Meet him in the hallway. Certainly was not a regular sort of thing. It just dumbfounds me that you just don't realize the impact you have on people by just being available and nice, I guess. I don't know if there's a better word, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, I don't think you needed to spend a lot of time. It was more that when you did spend time, it was actually quality time and he felt heard. And again, you were vulnerable in that, you know, hey, what do we have to do in order to, you know, you didn't come and say, this is what I want you to do. Right. So you allowed for, I guess, him and myself and the team to take liberties without, you know, and empowering, I guess, is probably the best word.
It blows me away, actually. It really does.
Okay, well, I'm going to go on to Lisa now. So Lisa, again, I think reported to you, Paula?
Yes, she did, yeah.
Okay, so I just, again, pulled just a quote off of it. And it said, my experience with you had an impact on my career and has shaped my beliefs on the traits of truly great leaders.
Jesus.
Oh, no, I'm dumbfounded because this guy's never listened to me. I've never finished a full sentence.
I don't get it either. That's the craziness of really. I mean,
there we go.
I'm kind of embarrassed even to listen to this. I don't see that it did anything special.
You know what? You could just chalk it up to you gave an opportunity to somebody that was working in a different department. That probably meant the world to that person. Because again, you saw something in somebody and you made that connection that they would be a good fit in a particular area. And you honed in on a skill set that they wanted to explore that they were not able to explore where they were. And you allowed them the opportunity to grow in their career. And what do people want more than that? They want to continue to learn and grow and develop. And you gave her that opportunity. I think that that's what you did for her. And she was grateful, obviously.
To be honest, I think it's more all encompassing than that. And I think it has a lot to do with like you, Paula. I mean, you're like, even you talk about how you were having fun and you really enjoyed working there. So you would exhibit that sort of enthusiasm through your team. And that creates an environment even in just your business unit. You know what I mean? And then if each one of our business units within inside of Retail Banner Services is feeling the same way, I think you're living in that happy environment. Things are happening.
Challenges are overcome because everyone's, you know, there's an energy. You're building an energy ball and it just keeps building momentum. So I think that's part of it. And you're right. We did have fun. We had a lot of fun. I mean, we did some really fun things. We had a chili cook-off, you'll remember. You dressed up, I think you were a gorilla at Halloween. You came in scaring people. You know, things like that people just like, wow, the senior vice president of retail operations. But personally, Rick was never hung up on title. Like he never sort of was like, I'm the senior vice president, never had that demeanor. So I think that's where people were like, this is different.
Right.
And because you were accessible, you were available, you know, if somebody wanted to talk to you, you would take the time to listen to them regardless of who it was.
Okay. So, you know, this whole thing is about being atypical and what could you nail it down to two or three things that really made it different?
I guess it was the bringing together of the team. It was the empowering that you bestowed on people. To get done what needed to get done without the micromanaging and just without the ego involved where this is the way it's got to be. But one thing I will mention was the doodling, right? And the drawing. Rick was famous for doodling. He would doodle during meetings. I think you were formulating where we might sit back in a boardroom and watch, you know, the pen moving, thinking that maybe he's not paying attention to what's being discussed. Right. But then sure as hell, he'll ask a question where you just go, oh, wow, he was listening. And so I think the doodling helped comprehend whatever it was you were digesting, what was being said. And so I think in those moments where you're sitting there going, and I think because you were vulnerable in those moments, you would ask in meetings, you'd be the first one to say, explain that. I don't get it. Simplify it. What? Like you'd be the first one. So then everyone that is sitting around a boardroom where you're sitting there going, I don't know if I should ask this question or not. Is this going to be a stupid question? Am I going to look bad if I ask this question? Right. I don't think that you ever kind of went through that. Just ask a question. And it gave people in that room Well, if he can ask that question, then you know what? I have a question
too. If Rick can ask the stupid question, why can't I? Yeah.
It would help to break down what the task was, right? So everybody fully understood what needed to happen, because everyone then just started asking, yeah, well, what does that mean? How does that look? And what do I do with that? And it would just open up the conversation instead of you're in a boardroom, you've got this task, nobody really understands the task. We got to the point where we could understand what was happening because there were questions being asked. So yeah. I think that's also different. A lot of, there's probably more reservations perhaps with a not atypical leader. I don't think you're just looking for the outcome. You want the result. Don't care about how you're going to get that result, what needs to happen to get that result. The result's going to happen, and it's going to happen with hard work and getting that commitment level from everybody.
And everybody understanding what they need to do.
Yeah, defining the rules and
well,
all
I think
of that.
You've encapsulated that pretty well.
It goes back to you being atypical. And like you've always said, because you couldn't do certain things, you had to have the group of people around you that could help you.
Judy, just like you said, I couldn't do things, so I learned I had to get help. A typical thinker, and you think of all the other executives, were very intelligent. I'm sure they all were first in their class. You know, they're all very smart. They learn to get by doing things themselves. And that takes you down a different path and you learn different skills as opposed to me when I knew if I don't get help, I'm getting nothing done.
Well, I think it was, you're very resourceful. So even if you were being resourceful with somebody and they weren't perhaps able to produce what it is you had in your vision, you might move on to somebody else that could be more resourceful. It's not like Rick would use a certain individual because that was their role. It's whoever could accomplish. He gave the opportunity for you to do different things within your role if he realized that you would be able to achieve the result that was needed.
Right. Well, you know, Rick, it sounds like you actually did walk the talk. I mean, all the things you've told me over the last couple of months while we've been preparing for this and on air, you actually do walk the talk, don't you?
Well, you know what is the funny part? I mean, as I was in that role, I don't think I realized any of that. It's really since I retired, wrote a book. And when you're writing this book, you're going through and you're thinking it's through. And even as we started this podcast to realize how I went about these things, I didn't realize that. You know what? When you're in the game, you're in the game. You're just playing it and whatever comes instinctively to you is what you do. Whatever works for you is what you do. You're not sitting and analyzing saying, oh, I'm going to do these things.
Your style isn't. There's lots of people that do that, I think.
Okay.
But
well, there you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
That's why you were both looking at me like deers in the headlights.
And therein is the atypical.
There you go. He just popped his head out. Yeah. Wow.
Sounds like you had a wonderful working relationship and being friends too, which is a lovely thing to have at work.
No, you were going to say we weren't friends. What were you going to say, Rick?
I never said that. I said we had a great relationship. It was business, straightforward, had a lot of fun. We did a lot of joking. But she'll tell you, if I wasn't doing what I was supposed to do, she was not shy to tell me. And I love that because you don't know what you don't know. And you only know what people tell you. And I love that. And when I say she bossed me around, she did boss me around. Things need to happen. Here's what you need to do. Go here. Go there. Go talk to James. Go talk to whatever. I mean, that's the type of conversation we had. And I'd run along. Paula told me so. And we'd go.
Thanks for training him for me. And did you find that you kept up what he had taught you?
Yeah. And even to this day, I mean, I am very much about you need to have fun in the workplace. You know, that type of work hard, play hard attitude, better done than perfect is, you know, still rings true in my head. Like, let's just get stuff done and sense of urgency. Yeah. So definitely, you know, I would echo my colleagues in saying that, you know, it was a good time. We enjoyed working with each other, the whole team. I don't just speak for Rick and myself working together. I mean, as a team, it was a great team. And we all shared the same beliefs because we were working towards a common goal. And I think that's where Rick was instrumental in getting everybody on board. You know, if you can get everybody rowing in the same direction, then you can accomplish anything.
Wow.
You still have Rick in your head, it sounds like. Sorry.
I wasn't here to build Rick up. I was just here to talk about what it was like for working for him. You know, if that happened in the interim, Rick, come down a notch.
Yeah,
still
well, it's funny, though, because, you know, I do listen to this, and it's kind of, I find it a little embarrassing. I mean, you know, it's all great and all that, and I think, how are we going to do a podcast now? How am I going to put a podcast out, rah, rah, Rick, rah, rah, Rick? It just, it's so, feels odd to me.
Well, it's not I mean, it is Raw, Raw Rick, but the reason we're doing it, Rick, is to show how an atypical person, the way that he thinks, the way that he has to act, is so different from the normal, typical executive. And that's what you did. And you were very successful at it. Otherwise, we wouldn't be having a book or a podcast about it.
No, and I get and I appreciate it. But again, that I don't know if it's humility or what words you put to it, but it still gives me that awkwardness feeling that.
Well, I think that probably goes back to ego, to be honest, and the fact that you don't really have a great big head. I mean, I'm not here to go rah, rah, Rick. Honestly, there were times where, yeah, it was like, what the hell? What does he want? Like, that's ridiculous. Right. Can't do that. But sure as shit, we'd get it done.
And get it done we would, achieving some of the highest employee engagement scores in the world. It was great to talk to Paula, and I hope her description of our team and what atypical leadership can accomplish motivates you to embrace your uniqueness. But I think it's important for me to clarify that not everybody saw me in the same positive way that Paula, Lisa, and James and other members of our team did. The reality is I've pissed off legions of people over the years. From people who experienced me in my early years, who saw me in the heat of competition, or on the other side of an objective that I was trying to achieve. But, you know, that's kind of life. You can't please everyone, nor should you try. As you travel your atypical journey, it's important for you to learn from the past, evolve, and find the right environment that works for you and your team, where fun and hard work feel like the same thing. And with that in mind, I've talked Paula into redoing her second place karaoke performance from that little getaway that we had years ago, which might make you wonder who won, but, well, that's a story for another day. So enjoy Paula's little rendition of Coal Miner's Daughter. Thanks for joining us today and listening to another episode of The Atypical Leader. If you haven't already done so, like, share, and follow me on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, and wherever you find your favorite podcasts. By liking and sharing, you will help other atypicals find all of us, so we can all start to leverage the stories, strategies, and strengths of what make us all unique. Keep listening and remember, take charge and push away those self-doubts. Leverage what we're talking about, be confident in who you are, and proud of what makes you unique. So join me, Rick Brennan, and my co-host Judy Sims on the next episode of The Atypical Leader. To learn more about us, leadership, and neurodiversity, please go to our website, atypicalleader.com. In a cabin.